Who made the decision to change the presentation of the exhibit when it came to the United States, and why?
I can't answer that with a lot of authority. Kirk, actually, was kind enough to talk to a curator at the Science Museum who assured him, as I had suspected, that the show is very much controlled by the Body World's people. So I think and I also must say that I only saw it in Berlin. I've seen pictures from other venues. There may have been some evolution during the time it was going through Europe, but I kind of know Germans well enough to imagine them sitting and saying, what would appeal to the Americans? And I think that the issues here are the venues, the fact that they were able to get respectable, prestigious organizations to host it, and that, to my knowledge, didn't happen so much in Europe. And then, of course, the press response, which has been much more polite, but that, on the other hand, is an effect of, I think it all hangs together.
The question was, if I heard you correctly, what sort of German institutions could have hosted it in something that would be more analogous to how it was hosted in the United States?
Right. Well, certainly there are all kinds of, there are art museums, there are science museums, etc. I don't know about the history of these decisions. In fact, I never even really thought about it until I went to the Science Museum last week when I wrote the essay in the Star Tribune. I had only seen the German one, but I'm given the general, the huge controversy. It's not that, it had defenders. And in fact, at the German exhibit, I bought a book called Schöne neue Körperwelt, and it's like Brave New Body Worlds, that has 16 essays by theologians and physicians and sociologists and people in law, etc., that are debating both, a pro and con, the whole thing. So surrounded by an aura of controversy, and not everybody was against it, but there was this huge, huge tendency to dismiss this as a charade. And so I don't know for sure if von Hagens, for example, approached some of these prestigious institutions and was turned away. I do know, and I think this is part of the kind of capitalist brilliance of the thing, that he has said repeatedly, the more people criticize this, the more they get outraged, the more people will go. So go ahead,
We all know that old aphorism, don't we?
Right.
Has there been any medical benefit from plastination? Anybody want to take that one on?
As it turns out, there's a small plastination operation at the University of Minnesota in which they take, in general, particular organs. If you were here the first discussion, they had, for example, a heart and a lung. They had some of the vascularization available. And it's used as a hands-on teaching tool. Now, one thing that is interesting about it in this context is that it's also considered as a bequest organ, and that there isn't a right to hold it in perpetuity. So it will be ultimately cared for and will be disposed of in the manner that's consistent with the anatomical bequest program overall. So it's a temporary teaching object, and they brought a number of these here, and you can look at them, but yet they are tagged, they are tracked, and they do have a disposition destination that is already intended, and they're not a property that can be used in any way. One thing that I noted with the pin of the skier on the lapel pin, I wonder when that person gave his body if he really thought he was going to be reproduced 50,000 times on lapel pins out on the ski slopes or wherever in sort of kitsch art. And that sort of thing would not take place here, while the particular technical aspect of plastination in general, using more of a rubberizing element in the polymers, is used here for the teaching purposes with under the normal structure.
Relative to the bodies that have been willed to our anatomy program here for learning and teaching, that there's a very strong sense of personhood and who these persons were, and that you might even know them in the anatomy lab, and care is taken ahead of time so that students don't walk in on a body that is someone they may have known. And that you don't have, you didn't have that personal sense or that sense of sort of selfhood or personhood with the Von Hagens exhibit. And wondering whether any of the panelists can speak to that or had that same sense or any thoughts along those lines.
I would agree with that, but I think probably the reason is the skin is taken off. And so it's almost impossible to get any kind of recognition of the person as we normally think of persons. It was even hard to... Yeah, I simply could not get it. I agree with you completely, and I could not get a sense of them as persons. And then you have the artificial eyes, which makes them look almost like circus things. I mean, there's something very artificial about them, and that also seemed to me to give them a kind of an artificial personality, but not an individual personality of somebody I would have known.
And one thing in the anatomy lab, at least in the anatomy lab that I was in, is that one develops a relationship over time with these people and their bodies, and getting to know the intricacies and the idiosyncrasies of the particular person that's there. Maybe you would go over to another table where this particular organ system is more clearly articulated. And I remember one woman at one table, the way she happened to be preserved, that her hand was frequently in the air like this. And she had extraordinarily clear internal characteristics still, even after preservation, which wasn't true in many of the bodies. And frequently you would see the student would be by there, and frequently the hand would be up, and one of the students would be holding the hand that happened to be there just subconsciously, saying things like, wow, this woman is just incredible, look at this. So there's a sense of really owing, and I think that was articulated last week too, in terms of the memorial service that's put on by the medical students, that there is this sense. And then when you go and you talk to the family people that are there, you don't know to whom which person, which cadaver was a family member, but you're face to face with them, and they know that you have done certain things with the body of the people they love that really puts a kind of an accountability in the context, which I don't think is present in this sort of a situation.
And they did something new this year at that memorial service that I think will be a tradition, and it was really striking. And they asked families to bring in mementos, and they had a big, long exhibit table. And there were pictures of family members or stuffed animals or, you know, just sort of the interesting things that you might see that people would leave maybe at a graveside. And so you had a sense of who that person was, and it was really meaningful and moving. It was a wonderful idea. We will be, even though we didn't audio tape or videotape last week, we will be bringing those presenters into the studio and videotaping that session for our educational purposes in the future. So just to let you all know, you could contact us in the future if you missed that session or you know of people who did or couldn't be here. And that same thing is true of all of the sessions.